This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Throwback Thursday. I'm Rami Makhlouf along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. We got Baby Tausch on the other side of the glass and lots to get to with you between now and 6 o'clock. A visit from our old friend Larry Harris. Now with the Golden State Warriors, their vice president of player personnel. He joins us at 2:35, former Bucks GM. Gary Wolfel talks some Bucks with him when our Milwaukee basketball insider joins us at 3:48. Talks some Packers with Rob Reichel of BobMcGinnFootball.com. He joins us at 4:35. And John McNamara, our Wisconsin insider, will look back at the regular season with him.
He and I were texting last night about Badger basketball.
J-Mac?
I'm looking forward to talking to him about Badger basketball today.
I thought we were going
to
talk football, no?
If you want to.
Can we do both?
We have nothing to talk about, really, until the Orange Bowl gets here. But you could talk some football with him.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Yeah. And also, at 4 o'clock, y'all need to go to our Facebook page, because Odell Beckham Jr. and Tom Brady, same dude. Same dude, and there's video evidence of it. If you don't believe me, it's up at facebook.com/1057FM, The Fan, and we'll have the discussion at 4 o'clock. Out of the gates, we want to talk some Packers and ask you, do you think Jordy and Cobb are dropping off? Or is it just a Brett Hundley effect? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 1057FM, The Fan. Rob Domofsky, our old friend, our old Green Bay football insider, now the beat writer for ESPN up in Green Bay. He had an article today talking about the drop-off for Randall Cobb and mentions Jordy Nelson in there, but attributes a lot of it, not all of it, Gary, to having Brett Hundley throwing him the ball instead of the greatest in the world, Aaron Rodgers. Is the drop-off because of Brett Hundley, or are Jordy and Cobb just dropping off as players will do as they get later in their NFL careers? 414-799-1250.
It's a little bit of both. I think Randall Cobb, I start with him first. I think there's some slippage in play from Randall Cobb. It's just tough to be inside playing that position for a number of years. I mean, that slot position in the NFL is a lot like playing running back because you really don't have huge slot guys. They're more quicker guys than there are fast to kind of work through the middle. And those guys, when they're working the middle, they're taking on inside linebackers, which is almost twice their size. I don't know if you guys remember, you know George Kuntz. George Kuntz is as big as I am. Ray Lewis. I mean, those are the guys, those little guys are going up against the inside. I mean, you know, and Randall Cobb has lost some speed, some quickness because of all the injuries that has occurred to him. I think when you look at Jordy Nelson, I think he's lost a step and a half, or maybe a half a step, since he's came back from that knee surgery. And so there's something to that. But more importantly, I think the big picture, yes, it is more about Hundley. Those guys have lost steps, but it is about Hundley. It's about Hundley and his ability to get these guys to football on a regular basis and to put it where they need to put it. I think Jordy Nelson is probably suffering the most from not having Aaron Rodgers because they had that it thing. They had that connection. They had that back shoulder. They had that – Jordy had that thing on the sideline and all that. What you have been able to see is Jordy not running away from guys anymore. He can't get past guys. I think we've seen evidence of that. But with Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't necessarily have to do that. Aaron Rodgers can put that ball in a spot where he can be competitive enough and go get it or throw it in the back shoulder. And he just make those throws that Jordy Nelson is used to. It is the drop-off to me is really all about Huntley, the reason why Jordy's not catching the ball. But let's make no mistake about it, injuries have taken their toll on Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson.
With Randall Cobb, like, we talked about Steph Curry before. Hang with me. I know, different sports, and you're not sure where I'm going with this comparison. We talked about Steph Curry before and his staying power as one of the best players in the league and an NBA superstar. And I've said to Sparky, and Sparky, one of the few times, he said, you know what, that's kind of a good point. Steph Curry relies so much on quickness that if he loses a half a step or a step, he's not the same dude anymore.
No.
He stops being so dangerous. And I think you can say the same thing about Randall Cobb.
Sure.
He relied so much on speed and quickness.
It was more about quickness than speed for him in the middle.
And especially there in the slot, yeah. like you said, working the middle of the field.
Yeah.
If he loses a half a step, that's huge for his game. I mean, we're talking about the difference between being successful in the NFL mm-hmm. and not being successful in the NFL is tenths of a second. Mm-hmm. It's literally tenths of a second, mm-hmm. no matter what position you play. Mm-hmm. So if Randall Cobb loses a half a step, if his 40 goes from, I don't know what it was mm-hmm. when he was coming out of college, 4.4 to 4.
I don't know if he was a 4.4. Somebody should look that up. I don't know if he was
I'm just
a 4.4.
Throwing numbers out
but
there.
But I'm just saying, if you think about it, if he wasn't a 4.4, he'd come in at running a 4.5.
Right.
It's a 4.46.
Was he a 4.46?
If he goes from a 4.46 to a 4.76, huge difference.
That's a huge difference.
Huge difference for a wide receiver in the NFL.
Let's just say he ran a 4.46. That's probably what it was his best time.
Right.
So you know he ran a 4.5 in one of those times.
Sure.
Because that's just the way it works.
So you're saying that it's more to do with Brett Hundley being the quarterback.
Oh yeah, most,
than it is
most
just
definitely.
A natural regression.
I think you'll see Randall Cobb better when Rodgers comes back.
Yeah, I mean there's a certain degree of this, Sparky. Yeah. That's a no brainer. Aaron Rodgers is going to make any wide receiver look better. Than Brett Hundley is. That's mm-hmm. I mean that goes without saying.
Right.
But at the same time, if I'm the Green Bay Packers, I am starting to think about restocking the cupboard at wide receiver.
They do.
Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb are not the players that they were. A large part of this regression, if you ask me, is just guys getting older, guys losing a half a step, injuries taking their toll on both. I think a large part of the drop-off is just these guys regressing, getting older in a young man's game.
No, that's the quarterback sucks. That's the change. The quarterback can't throw these guys open nearly as good as the Hall of Fame quarterback before him. Mark my words, Aaron Rodgers comes back and watch Jordy Nelson come up with 10 catches and like 150 or something when Rodgers comes back. And Randall Cobb will obviously get back into it as well. Now, Randall Cobb, I agree with Randall Cobb. I said last year that this could be Randall Cobb's last year. I think Randall Cobb has taken a step back. Jordy Nelson, come on, he's Jordy Nelson. I mean, he will be fine with Aaron Rodgers. But again, what you're seeing is, and we've talked about this in the past, you take wide receivers out of this system with a Hall of Fame quarterback, put them on other teams, and watch them go bye-bye, disappear. And you're seeing that's exactly what might have happened to wide receivers in this wide receiving core had they been put with another quarterback instead of the Hall of Fame quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. That's just what it is. I'm not worried about Jordy Nelson at all. Randall Cobb, he may have taken a half a step back or whatever else, but we saw that last year. We talked about that last year. We talked about that at the end of last year about whether or not you would trade Randall Cobb, whether or not they may have to cut Randall Cobb after this upcoming season. Had the same conversation about Clay Matthews. I just think when Rodgers comes back, all this talk is going to go away. The wide receivers are going to get back in the groove the way they were with Rodgers, and off we go. Now, the running back play may suffer a little bit because they won't run the ball as much, but as far as the wide receivers go, I'm not worried about Jordy Nelson at all. Randall Cobb, I get down with that, but not with Jordy.
Do you think that the drop-off for Jordy and Cobb is just them dropping off, or is it the Brett Hundley effect? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7FM,
The
Fan.
The drop-off with Jordy, and it's when Rodgers come back, and Rodgers can set some guys up. But the drop-off, Jordy, is can he still get behind guys?
Right.
Because he used to be able to get past guys.
Jordy Nelson is.
When you start seeing him not moving past guys, to me that's a drop-off. But what they can make up for is Aaron Rodgers throws that back shoulder better than anybody in the game today, and they have that connection better than anybody in the game today, where he can get up on a guy, not necessarily pass him, but Rodgers put that thing on the back shoulder. And he makes some of the best catches you could ever make for a guy. I think if you look at guys that work the sideline, Jordy Nelson may be the best guy I've ever seen that can work the sideline outside of
Chris Carter. Right.
Sparky, and Chris Carter couldn't run past nobody either.
Right. Jordy Nelson
is catch touchdown.
Yeah.
Jordy Nelson is 32 years old.
Yeah, but there is.
Guys,
he can't run like he
guys regress at 32 years old in the NFL.
So when Rodgers
this isn't
comes
new.
Back,
this isn't
then,
a secret.
So when Rodgers comes back, he just won't. you won't be productive like with Huntley.
Well, no.
I already said that it's not to pasture.
Time to retire.
No, don't be so extreme, Sparky. I think the telltale sign is
you have a horrible quarterback.
Well, yeah, you do. But the telltale sign for him, we're just talking about the drop off. We agree with you, the horrible quarterback. I agree with it.
Yeah.
You want to call him horrible.
But if Rodgers is a quarterback, we're not having this conversation.
If you want to be extreme, if you want to call him horrible.
So you think his numbers would have been down with Rodgers as a quarterback this year?
I'm just telling you this. Just follow this. I don't know about that, but just follow this one thing. That's all I'm saying to you, Steve. When you see him no longer getting past DBs, you know there's a drop off.
Okay, let's see what happens when Rodgers comes back.
That's all I'm saying.
That's fair enough.
I've already
seen what happens. 30,
that happens to everybody. That's
sure it
the
does.
Game.
And yeah. I've already said, Spark, you can attribute some of the drop-off to the fact that Brett Hundley is throwing him the football.
Oh,
that's
absolutely.
Common sense, and I'd be an idiot
absolutely.
To not recognize that.
Absolutely.
And I don't think I'm an idiot. Some people might disagree. But you're saying that Jordy Nelson, you could see him getting 10 receptions when Aaron Rodgers comes back. Everything's going to go back to normal. He had Aaron Rodgers for the first five games of the season. He had 7-0, 6-4, and 2 receptions.
Okay, let's see what happens. Let's see if you're right.
He's 32 and he's had ACL surgery. Guys normally start to regress at that point in their careers when they're 32 have had ACL surgery.
They have to redo the wide receiving core, they're screwed. Because they have nothing in the cupboard behind the front three.
Well, they have Devontae Adams.
They have nothing in the cupboard after their top three.
You have Michael Clark.
We don't know anything about Michael Clark.
But
it seems
promising.
That's a complete reach.
You have Geronimo Allison.
It's a basketball player. And he hasn't done anything in weeks either.
And I'm not saying that you have to necessarily send Jordy and Cobb packing, probably one of them. But I'm not saying you have to send either one of those guys packing. But what I'm saying is you have to get guys in here who can do what those guys used to be able to do and diminish their roles a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you have to completely restock and send those guys on their way. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm just saying you have to start thinking about retooling your wide receiver core.
Well,
because I think that part of this drop-off is just guys dropping off and not Brett Hundley throwing him the football.
Okay, fair
part
enough.
Of it.
We'll see, because I don't think we'd have this conversation if Rodgers was the quarterback and this team was sitting with 10 wins right now.
Do you think Jordy
and
Cobb
having this conversation
are dropping off, or is it just Brett Hundley? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. We're the Wendy's Big Show. It's a Throwback Thursday presented by Master Z's. Gary's boys, Fleetwood's Max, will be bringing us out of the break next. I screwed up. Take it off my QB rating. I didn't have the Fleetwood's Max queued up. I'll be perfect the rest of the day. Guaranteed.
I think Tom
Kesnick. Throwback Thursday presented by Master Z's.
Tom Kesnick's defending Randall Cobb on Twitter.
Is he?
So you may want to ask Tom Kesnick this tomorrow.
Okay.
Ask him what?
I'm willing to ask
about him. Cobb and Jordy, because I put the question on there. Do you think Cobb and Jordy Nelson are dropping off, or is it Hundley? And I put, at Sparky Radio says Cobb probably is, but not Jordy. He retweeted and said, look at Cobb's catch percentage, and then let's talk.
Well, yeah, catch percentage is one thing. Getting what percentage of the plays is he getting open? Let's talk with Tom Kesnick about that tomorrow.
That's a whole different number.
The quarterback just not throwing the football.
Well, yeah, that's true, too.
Or the quarterback isn't throwing him the football.
Because remember when we had this conversation last year with Aaron
Rodgers?
Did
he even have a target this last game?
No.
Cobb?
No, not a single target.
Jesus.
Now, again, remember last year?
No.
First half of last year, Rodgers was brutal. And everybody was saying his receivers couldn't get separation. Gary came in here and said, that's a load of crap.
Right.
I watched the film.
It was about isolation.
Right. There's wide receivers that are being able to get open. He's just not
throwing it to him.
Right. So later in the season, what happened? Started throwing the football, got hot, and away they went. So now again, if you're saying there was guys open enough at the NFL level to have the ball thrown to him and he wasn't throwing it, how is it inconceivable to think that these guys are open enough now and Hundley's not throwing the football when he's a lot less inexperienced as Rodgers? He's not nearly as good as Rodgers. And knows in the back of his head his rap coming out of college was interceptions, and I don't want to throw any interceptions. So I'm going to play it even more conservative than I normally would, and I'm sure McCarthy is drilling into his head, do not turn over the football. Take a sack, whatever, do not turn it over. I think all of that plays into this.
I want to get as many phone calls as we can here because Larry Harris is coming up at 2:35. Do you think Jordy and Cobb are just dropping off, or is it partly due to Brett Hundley? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. We all know
good
Hundley.
Good KS just quit.
We all know Hundley is a factor. He quit?
Yep.
You can't quit.
You just said, that's it, I quit. I'm assuming because you didn't play.
Our throwback curator?
I'm guessing because you didn't play it.
You can't quit.
You just did.
All right, hang on one sec. No, that's not what I was trying to play. That's the commercial before the video.
Jesus, he's all messed up, aren't
No, you? That's not my fault. An ad plays before the video.
Just
don't talk, baby. Tasha turned off your mic already. Let's go to Dan and Racine. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Dan?
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Robbie, you're having a day, buddy. Hey, man. Wow.
Hold on. There, that's Fleetwood Mac. There, I did it, KS. Now, can you please not quit? Go ahead, Dan.
That wasn't long enough.
There you go. Hey, one request quick, man. Gold Dust Woman by Fleetwood Mac.
It's anyway. Coming up, coming out of the 2:43 break.
If Rami plays
We'll have some Gold Dust Woman coming for you by Fleetwood Mac, 2:48. Go ahead.
Hey, so, yeah, the drop-off, for Jordy, it's noticeable, I think. Cobb's never been there for about 2 years now. I have no idea what they justify that check going to him for.
Man, overpaid him.
First in the league and wide receiver last year before this year started.
Yep.
And I think it's a big fallout from the tight end spot, man. I mean, we got nothing there. Bennett, you know, what he did. And I think it's a huge game plan loss. And, yeah, that's what I'm rolling with. And Devontae Adams looks like he's become the man up there. So, I mean, I'm not too worried about Nelson when he comes back. But he does look a little slower. But you got, man, Cobb is, like, not should not be getting that kind of money.
Well, whoever the general manager is this offseason is going to have to make a tough decision here because you're going to have to pay Devontae Adams. And if the general manager agrees with Rami and Gary that these two are not the same players they were, then he's really got a tough decision to make. Because if you say, well, I don't want to pay a ton of money to Devontae Adams, I'll let him go somewhere else, well, then you have to come to grips with what your wide receiving core is and what you're going to do about it. Because if they think in the front office of the Green Bay Packers that these two have lost a step, or whatever the case may be, they have to pay Devontae Adams. And then they're going to have to cut one or two players that have been key contributors of this team for the last several years, whether that be Cobb or Jordy or Clay Matthews or whoever it may be, you're going to have to make some difficult decisions releasing football players so you can sign Devontae Adams with the cap and everything else that goes along with it. Would not want to be in that situation if I'm the Green Bay Packers if they are planning on signing Devontae Adams to a crazy big deal.
They have to sign Devontae Adams.
He is not taking, well, I don't know this for sure, but I don't think, Gary, he's going to take a hometown discount to stay in Green Bay.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe he will. Jordy made sense that he did, but I can't imagine Devontae will.
I don't know.
Let's go back out to
the
phones.
You only get paid once like this.
Let's go to Tim and Racine. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Tim?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning? This afternoon. Yeah. I get everything with the offense. You can probably trade some of them, maybe get a couple of veteran players, especially some safeties, please. But my biggest thing is, can you please get some offensive line help, like for like the left side and the right side, to protect Rodgers so he doesn't get hurt?
Okay.
You're all messed up. You're so out of touch right now. You don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
Why? Aaron Rodgers behind
he
us.
We need safety help. That's almost probably one of the strongest part of the team. It's a doggone safety. Is he going to talk about we need some offensive line help? We need no damn offensive line help. That's the strongest part of the team. What the hell are you talking about, dude?
You're nuts.
You're absolutely lost your natural doggone mind coming in here talking about we need some cornerback help is what we need. We need some cornerback help in the worst way.
I just said I'd like to see some help on the offensive line.
Where? You who?
The left side and right side, man. Got to protect the
left
side,
right side. That's the whole line.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Once
you
go, the
whole offensive line suck. David Bakhtiari suck.
They suck.
Okay, done. This guy. Where you get this guy from?
That's a guy, Tim and Racine.
That was the Brett Favre
guy.
Brett
Favre. There's that dude.
Same guy, man. Well, he's been calling into the show forever.
He better go back to the mill by then.
Calls into the Chicago Sports Talk stations. Dude calls in everywhere.
I couldn't tell you that there's a weak link on the Packers offensive line.
I think Brian Bulaga is a guy that, considering his injury history and everything else, if they are sold that Spriggs can be that guy out there, which I'm not, but if they're sold on Spriggs or McCray being out there at right tackle, that might be another guy to try and figure out cap space going ahead. That might be a casualty at some point. But Bakhtiari should be a Pro Bowler. And you should vote for Bakhtiari going to NFL.com. And while you're there, vote for Leroy Butler for the Hall of Fame as well. But that for certain. Now, the rest of the line, I think the right guard has played as well as anybody could have expected, Harry Evans, since they picked him up. So I think he's played well. The center position I don't think is an issue at this point either. And the left tackle, Lane Taylor, left guard. Lane Taylor, I thought, is solid at left guard. So they're going to have to figure out right guard next year. Now, that could be McCray, right, to take over for Evans because he's going to be a free agent. Mm-hmm. That's a one-year deal. Mm-hmm. So he might be your right guard going forward, and I'm comfortable with that if that's the case. Yep. And then right tackle. Like I said, if you're looking to save money, maybe that's Bulaga and Spriggs goes to right tackle. They're going to have to figure out how to get Devontae Adams money in. That's just it. Somebody's going to have to go that, you know, we've known for a while on this team.
Go ahead, Rum. Get these guys in.
Shorewood, Robert, you're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, man?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a couple of comments, but your first clue with that previous caller should have been the good morning comment.
You're right.
But I've got an interesting question for Gary, and you know, since you played, is there any possibility that you could take Jordy and beef him up a little bit and make him your tight end? I mean, I don't know if he's tall enough or if he's beefy enough, but I think he's lost a little bit. But I think it's a combo of that, and clearly none of the receivers are playing as well as they would if Aaron Rodgers was here. I mean, that's a given. But I think both the guys lost a little bit, and Jordy is still very serviceable. I think you got to let Cobb go. But I'd really like to possibly see if they would ever consider moving Jordy to tight end, because he could still play a number of years at that position if he could handle the beating.
I think that's a good point, but I would never move him to – best you do is what they're already doing right now, put him in the slot.
Thanks for the call, Rob.
I think the slot, it should be the spot where he should be at, and you still make you get him on the outside to get the matchups you need to get. The Packers need to get a tight end that they can depend on that can stretch the field. I don't think Jordy is that guy.
I can't think of a wide receiver was transitioned to a tight end and it was successful. Can you guys think of it? Can you give me one example, one instance where that happened?
What was Shannon Sharp?
He was tight end the whole time.
He was tight end the whole time.
Yeah.
I actually had to make him gain weight, I thought, too.
Yeah, I got to think about it, Rami. I'm sure I can come up with somebody. I'm just looking at average salary per year for this year. Who's making the most a wide receiver? Antonio Brown's making $17 million, average. Now, this isn't signing most money, nothing else, average. $16.2 million, DeAndre Hopkins. $15 million for A.J. Green. Julio Jones, $14.25 million. Demaryius Thomas, $14 million. Dez Bryant, $14 million. Is he somewhere in that range? Is he somewhere in the $14 million a year range? 15?
I don't know what he's looking for, Steve. I think it's going to come out at the end of the year.
It depends how good you think he
having,
is.
He's still having – he looks damn good. I mean, he's – I mean, you throw him those little out patterns, those little slants, those little hitches. He's making jokers miss. He's making guys look foolish. I mean, he's explosive. I mean,
you look at the average contracts, total value of these contracts. Antonio Brown, $68 million.
Well,
DeAndre Hopkins, $81
million. He's not up in there.
Well, the top wide receivers, Antonio Brown, Hopkins, A.J. Green, Julio Jones, Demaryius Thomas, Dez Bryant, T.Y. Hilton. And then there's a little bit of a drop-off to Doug Baldwin.
Well, he deserves
to $11.5 million.
To have more than T.Y. Hilton.
And he's making 13. So he's going to be around $14 million a year.
Yeah.
And probably around a $70 million value.
Yep.
Tom Kesnick tweeted it again. Yeah. He said, "Damn, you guys are angry. Can't wait for my show tomorrow when I calm you guys to F down."
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Because you know Tom Kesnick, if nothing else.
He's cheery.
He calms us down. He's a cheery guy.
Sunshiny.
Mellow. Let's go to Big Blue in Georgia. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Blue?
What's up, fellas?
You?
Hey, man. It's all about part of it is progression. I mean, yes, these receivers have lost a step. Jordy is definitely down. Cobb, I wanted them to trade Cobb a few years ago. So I was hoping that maybe they would have tried to finagle Melvin Gordon out of San Diego after his rookie season when he didn't really look too good. But, you know, of course, you know, that wasn't happening. But the other thing is you got to look at how Aaron, when the play starts, he's already rolling out of the pocket usually by the time he hits the second receiver in progression. So at that point, they're running their routes, but then they're already breaking off their routes, and then he throws them open. He's got, you know, the D-backs on their heels because they don't know what he's going to do. Huntley doesn't do that. So he makes the receivers better than what they are because of that. But then you get a stud like Devontae, he's able to just make it happen. You know, he has that speed. He has the skills to break free and get behind defenders and go. So, I mean, that's how you got to look at it.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate it.
I'm telling you, we'll see how this whole thing plays out. I just think at the end of the day, if Rodgers was on this team all year, we would not be having this conversation. because they'd be at probably 9-10 wins already, and there'd be no conversation about the wide receivers' play falling off or whatever else. Rodgers would be putting up huge numbers. Jordy would have a bunch of touchdowns, as would Devontae Adams. Now, we may not know about these running backs necessarily still, but
the numbers
everything
would still,
else.
The numbers would still look good, Sparky, because I'm not saying that neither of these guys has any football left in them, and Aaron Rodgers is going to make you look better than what you are. I'm just saying that there would still be a drop-off from what we've gotten used to seeing from these from those two guys. You don't think so?
No. Oh, well, Cobb, yes. I said that last year with Cobb, and I said when they signed Cobb, they overpaid Cobb.
Yeah.
So that I've been on the anti-Cobb bandwagon for quite some time. The Jordy Nelson bandwagon, they stole him. I mean, he went way hometown discount to take that $10 million a year deal. That was crazy that he signed that. And now he's screwed because obviously if other people around the league see what Rami sees, he's not getting another big contract. That's the end of that.
No, he's not.
So
it will be interesting to see how they handle that wide receiver position this offseason with the contracts for Jordy and Cobb up in the air, and you got to re-sign Devontae Adams. It'll be interesting to see how Ted Thompson, or as Sparky put it, whoever is the GM this offseason, handles the wide receiver position.
Can't be there much longer.
We'll get back to this coming up at 5 o'clock with Great Lakes Dragaway. Pick a lane. I bet people have said that about the Q Club of Wisconsin and Waukesha. It's so fun. People don't leave, and family members are like, I can't believe he's still there.
Q Club of Wisconsin, a great place to catch all your favorite sports action with pool tables, shuffleboard, tornado foosball tables, three of those, electronic darts, ping pong, and more. Enjoy their award-winning fish fry on Wednesdays and Fridays with four different styles of fish piled high with all the extras, plus live music every Saturday night. This Saturday night is Built on Sin. Built on Sin is your band this Saturday night at Q Club of Wisconsin. Late night Friday happy hour tomorrow night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Plus on Sunday morning, you got a new place for breakfast. It's the Q Club of Wisconsin starting at 9 a.m. from Chata French Toast, breakfast pizzas, and all your traditional breakfast items at Q Club of Wisconsin Sunday mornings. Each Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Also a fun place to host private parties, including your own personal VIP suite, luxury pool table, personal TV, the whole deal. Q Club of Wisconsin, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard in Waukesha. Just a half mile south of I-94. Check them out at QClubOfWI.com. That's QClubOfWI.com. That's QClubOfWI.com or on Facebook.
I'm going to guarantee you two things coming out of this break.
We're going to have fun talking to Larry Harris.
I have two guarantees for you. That's the first one. Former Bucks GM Larry Harris will be joining us, and we will have fun with him. The second one, it will be Fleetwood Mac on a Throwback Thursday.
No, I wouldn't.
Presented by Master League. I promise. I guarantee it.
I wouldn't bet on it.
I guarantee it. It's happening. It's happening.
Why, is Baby Tosh going to run the board?
No, once again, my apologies to good old KS, our Throwback Thursday curator. Please don't quit. I will be perfect with the rest of the playlist. Guaranteed. Wendy's Big Show will be right back with all that right after this. Larry Harris, who joins us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Are you a fan of Fleetwood's Macs?
Sure. Why not? I don't really like to agree with Gary much, but yeah, I guess they're all right.
He likes some Fleetwood Macs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're pretty good. You got to go old school. You got to go old school sometimes.
Well, especially
I always get on you guys about your Throwback Thursdays. I mean, is Sparky still rocking it out there with ZZ Top or what?
No,
doing?
No, man.
Throwing back some old
we haven't given our nominees yet. We could go around the horn and include Larry Harris our nominees for a Throwback Thursday.
That would be great.
Gary, I bet you Larry wins.
Normally the reigning champ goes first. Would you like to defer to our guest and be a good host and let Larry Harris get the first nominee?
Tell Larry the rules.
I'm going to go last.
You want to go last? Okay, we can do that. Then GE, go ahead.
Let me have Journey.
Journey
on
a Throwback Thursday for Gary Ellerson. Sparky?
I'm on Christmas songs.
Christmas songs. Is next week the last?
Nope.
No? We'll have one more Throwback Thursday before Christmas? Okay. So I won't go there yet.
I'm not there for that one.
All right.
I'm not here for that one.
Baby Tausch?
Close with what Sparky was doing, but I want a Carpenter's Christmas.
All Carpenter's Christmas music.
I like the Carpenters.
All right. I can get down with that. And I'm going to go with, I tried this last week. I'm going to try it again. Give me Jackson 5. You know what? I'll go with the theme. Give me Jackson 5 Christmas.
Yeah, Jackson 5 Christmas.
Larry Harris, what would you like to hear next week, sir?
I'm going Bing Crosby, White Christmas.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. Bing Crosby Christmas.
Bing Crosby.
I like Bing Crosby.
Dead or alive?
Bing Crosby is dead.
Is he?
Yes.
Okay. For a while.
That's a final.
Is he?
His duet with David Bowie is a great Christmas
Bing
song.
Crosby and
yeah.
David Bowie?
Bing Crosby and David Bowie did a Christmas duet. I forget which song it was, but it was outstanding. So there are your nominees. Bing Crosby Christmas from Larry Harris. Gary wants Journey. Sparky wants all Christmas music, just generally Christmas music. Baby Tosh went with a Carpenter Christmas. I want a Jackson 5 Christmas. Go with one of those or your own. Tweet your artist at 1057FMTheFan with the hashtag BigThrowback, and you'll be entered to win a $25 gift certificate to Master Z's. Larry, how's Steph Curry doing? When's he going to be back, my friend?
I think it's pretty optimistic. 2 weeks, I think, is what was the deadline. I think that's probably right. So right before Christmas, right before we take on Gary's boys, hopefully by Christmas Day.
Well, you're talking about my
LeBron.
Boy. Not boys.
Yeah, your boy.
Yeah, boys. His one boy. Yeah. Yeah, the rest of those guys aren't his boys.
I don't care about the rest of those guys.
When you have a team like you guys have in Golden State, as deep as it is, does that give you some leniency to maybe let a guy rest longer than he might need to otherwise when he has an injury like this?
I don't know if it's so much that. I think the biggest thing is if somebody, you know, is feeling a tweak or whatever, any kind of injury, I think we're going to be a little more cautious than we have been in the past. So if Steph needs an extra day or two, and that's what he wants, we'll give it to him. Like Pachulia last night against Charlotte got hit again on his left shoulder. He felt some discomfort. He's out. Patrick McCaw going through the concussion protocol with Boogie Cousins, a nice elbow to the head the other day. He's going to stay out, you know, two or three more days longer. So I guess the answer is yes, but if our players want to come back and are ready to play, then we'll put him back out on the floor.
I just heard the other day that NBA ratings are up and up big across the board. I want to say ESPN is up like 32% or something insane like that. TNT is up. All platforms are up. What would you attribute that to? Why the NBA is doing so well early on in the season, even with the NFL still going?
Well, Sparky, as you know, you've been following a long time. I really think that there's a lot of good young players, but more importantly, Boston, New York, and LA's teams have all, whether they're playing well or not, obviously Boston, New York is a surprise. LA's not playing as well, obviously, as they want to be. But those markets are up, which I think really drive viewership as well when both the East and the West Coast have teams. I think the intrigue with, Kyrie going to Boston, Cleveland was down, and now they've, won 13 in a row. So I think there's, and then you take, you know, like Milwaukee, you got Giannis, Karl Anthony Towns. There's a lot of young players that everybody, you know, Devin Booker, you know, the Philadelphia, you know, again, another East Coast team. There's a lot of intrigue in a lot of different teams now, not just the Warriors and the Cavs. And I think that that's probably driving up viewership. And to be honest with you, Gary knows better than anyone probably in that room there is the fact that the NFL is down so much that people are just, you know, they're taking their attention more to other things. And I think we're getting a little bit of more viewership with the lack of interest in the NFL.
Larry, I know, obviously, you've been involved in the NBA for how many years is it now? 60 or 70 years? It's been a long time.
Well, half that, but it's 30 this year.
Yeah, long time. I was being sarcastic. But hey, for the most part, have you ever come across helicopter parents in the NBA at that level, at the pro level? I mean, nobody obviously is at the level of LaVar Ball as far as going to the media, but do you run across it in the NBA behind the scenes with dads making calls to you or whatever the case may be about their kids' playing time, even at that level?
Never. Never. I can tell you there are more LaVar Balls and the family in college than everybody knows about. The parents just aren't out outspoken as often as LaVar is. There's a lot of them. It happens every year. A lot of these high school kids, there are more LaVar Ball parents in high school and the AAU and dictating where they go to college and everything. But at the pro level, I've never heard of it before in 30 years.
I've heard of one other player in the NBA that used to be on the Milwaukee Bucks who had a helicopter father that used to bother the NBA Bucks front office from time to time about his son's playing time.
Was Larry there then?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm.
No. But so I know it. I know it happens. But I just wondered how often it happens. So that's good to hear that you never had to deal with that. That's
no.
Positive.
No, not at all. Not at all. You know, and again, rarely now the NBA players take so much of their parents with them. It's usually their closest friend in high school or their college friends. They take care of their parents, but their parents aren't driving the narrative like obviously we've seen LaVar Ball.
Right.
It's off the charts. Yeah.
You know, it feels like, Larry, though, the landscape of the NBA, and I know you're going to downplay this, but it feels like the landscape of the NBA is guys trying to come together, trying to form a team, to beat Golden State. I guess you can stay out west and you can look what Oklahoma City has been able to do to try to put a team together to try to score some points. How you feel about Oklahoma City and these other teams that kind of crop up like Oklahoma City and Boston out east?
Well, I mean, again, we were very fortunate to get Kevin, and certainly it's been well documented how we were able to secure him. I mean, I think more, Gary, to our point is that maybe our style of play is more what people are like watching, the viewership, our team. We're very popular on the road. Obviously, we're very popular at home. We're popular all over the world. But I think not only our style of play, but our players and you know, the accessibility each one of them have is as great of players as they are. So I think that each team is in a different season. You know, you take Houston, Oklahoma City, Boston.
Yeah.
They want to go for it. Cleveland, they want to go for it. Then there's other teams like Chicago and Atlanta and Sacramento, you know, Phoenix, they're building. So I think I don't know so much that people are trying to get the super teams, but I think they're trying to acquire players that can compete at the level of where our four best players are at when we get into the playoffs. And, you know, depending on where you're at with your team, you have to decide, are we going to rebuild? And you take the East and West is completely different. I mean, the East is trying to get as good as Boston and as good as Cleveland. And I think Milwaukee's on its way. Toronto thinks they're there. I'm not sure they're there yet.
Well, their bench is playing out of its mind right now.
Yeah. And can they keep it up? You know, you've got a team like out in the West, we've got Minnesota who, you know, acquired some good players, but they're playing five guys almost 40 minutes a night. You know, how long can that last over an 82-game period? Mm-hmm. But is Rami there, by the way?
Yes, I am.
He's been quiet. I was wondering, a 3-20.
Yeah, the Bulls are a terrible franchise, Larry. They're not a good franchise, top to bottom. That is a bad, bad franchise.
Three and 20.
It's awful.
So are you cheering for the Bears? I can't. What's their record?
I mean, yeah, they both have 3 wins, and we're in mid-December. And I know where we're at. We're in December. I understand, Larry. I know. I cheer for bad teams.
You must be getting hammered in that room.
You know what?
I can't believe.
You want to turn Larry's mic off?
No, I wouldn't do that to our guest. Just baby touch. Yeah. I would never do that to a guest. Sure. I'm a gracious host.
Yeah, move your hand back. Yeah.
No, but that leads me to the next question I had for you, Larry. Go ahead.
Usually ask a question. So the fact that you're a silent partner there must be 3-20 on the total rebuild.
Jesus.
I just want to make sure.
Yes. Wait, no. Yeah,
okay.
You know what, Larry? I'm all for
kicked you in the face.
I'm all for a total rebuild. That wasn't me. That was a soundbite. I'm not going to kick you in the face, Larry. I'm all for the total rebuild. I just don't trust the guys doing it. I don't like Paxson. I don't like Foreman. We need a new brain trust there. I'm all for the rebuild, but that does lead me to the next question. I can't remember in all the years that I've been watching the NBA this many teams doing what the Bulls are doing right now, what the Bucks did a couple of years ago, that complete tear down rebuild model that so many teams are trying right now, that the Sixers are finally seeing the fruits of. Have you ever seen this many teams just giving up and saying we'll look to the future in the NBA, Larry?
Well, I think more importantly, and I'm kidding, obviously, I like getting on about any Bulls as Gary with
I know.
You know, the love relationship that he has with LeBron.
But, and well, you should. They're a joke. They are a laughing stock, and people should be laughing at the Bulls right now.
But I will say this. I think what's more surprising than anything is I don't think Philly started it. I cannot believe, and Sparky will know exactly what I'm saying when I say this, I can't believe so many owners and as far as the fan base and stuff are buying into this.
Yep.
I mean, do they truly understand this is a 5 to 7 year plan? I don't care. Rebuild means 5 years to me. And that means you got to get the draft right every year. You basically, no one's going to come and play for you as a free agent for this 5 years until you've got a star somewhere to build along. I mean, just look at Milwaukee right now, just with Giannis and his development, where he's at right now. Incredible year, probably top five. He's in the top five of MVP votes right now today. And what it's taken from the time they got him to today. And yet they're 13-10 and they're on the rise. And I think they're going to continue to get better, but just how long of a process it is that so many owners and fan base are saying, let's do it that way. That to me is hard to believe.
Well, it's the only way, I mean, unless you're a large market. And I guess you're not really a large market in Golden State, but unless you're a large market, to get 3 stars to come play together, it's a very tough proposition. So you really are in a position now in the NBA where you kind of really have to do it through the draft or through trade and get lucky that somebody missed on their analysis of a young player and then you hit it and do it right. I think of the Pistons back with Chauncey Billups and some of those guys where, you know, Ben Wallace, those guys weren't drafted by them. They were all acquired in deals, and then they made it all work. So you can do it that way, or you can swing for the fences like John Hammond did with Giannis and hope you hit a home run. And John Hammond said it when he drafted him. Look, no, we're not going to be able to sign LeBron James. So the only way we're going to get a superstar is if we swing for the fences and hope we hit one. And they hit one, and now they have somebody to build around. But now the key is going to be, can they continue to put talent around him? Now, getting Eric Bledsoe was a step towards that, obviously, going forward. But again, you have a new arena. You're already in your new practice facility. I think there's definitely pressure on the Bucks organization right now to compete in the East. Maybe not, you know, win the East necessarily this year, but definitely compete in the East and be right there with Boston and Cleveland.
Yeah. Well, Rami, I'll tell you the other thing to add to that is that not only are they convincing the owners to do this, you know, way through the draft and be patient, but they've also sold the fact that, look, we're not going to beat Cleveland and Boston, Toronto, Washington, if they turn it around, and I think they will once they get John Wall back. But they're all looking at those four teams and saying, look, why do we want to get the eighth seed or the seventh? And we got no chance of beating those guys. So let's wait till LeBron retires, and let's wait till Boston, you know, who knows what will happen. Maybe Horford, you know, isn't the player he is 3 years from now, and then we'll compete. So they're buying into that thing. And what we find out in the NBA, unfortunately, it sounds good on paper for 1 or 2 years, and then they're tired of losing, and the fans aren't coming, and there's no revenue in the building. They're like, you know, we don't like this plan. And they scrap it, and here we go again. It just becomes an endless cycle. And it's a dangerous thing because, you know, losing and continually losing, it develops habits. And I don't think those are good for the team, and I don't think it's good for the fan base that are putting a lot of money behind this product, and it's a 6 or 7 year window before you're going to be any good. It's hard to deal with.
Talking with former Bucks GM and now director of player personnel for the world champion Golden State Warriors, Larry Harris, here on the Wendy's Big Show. I don't think you're giving yourself and that organization you work for there enough credit when talking about why so many teams are going with the tank and rebuild model, because I think a lot of people are looking at what you guys have built there in Golden State and going, if we don't have LeBron James, we really don't have a shot at a championship for the next 3 or 4 years against Golden State. So we might as well try and win championships 4 or 5 years from now. You don't think that's true, Larry?
You know what? I, again, we got very fortunate that, you know, we drafted Steph Curry, and after 3 years, we thought, you know what, this guy can be the real deal. And then Klay Thompson developed, and we got, you know, drafted in the second round, getting Draymond Green. But really, it kind of all came together that when those three started developing and getting better, it was the acquisition of Bogut. It was the acquisition of Iguodala in a free agency and a trade. And then obviously putting us over the top, getting KD. But yes, the draft picks developed much beyond what we could ever have imagined. I mean, I'm not kidding you today that we knew Steph, we knew Klay, and we knew Draymond. We liked them. We thought they could be really, really good players. But to think that the level of all three of them when we drafted them, no chance. But I think the other thing that gets missed in all of this is it's the acquisitions of the Iguodalas and the Sean Livingstons and Andrew Bogut at that time, and then getting Zaza Pachulia. I mean, guys wanting to come play with us. So there's a lot of things that have to go right in the draft, but then there's a lot of things, acquisitions, I think Sparky led to it, is getting those kind of players in a free agent and somebody that wants to come play for Golden State. Because if you remember, prior to Steph, I think we had lost, you know, 20 years in a row, other than 1 year when they had, you know, when they beat Dallas as an eighth seed. Other than that, there was a lot of lean years there in Golden State.
Boy, you guys sure come a long way since you had Monte Ellis, though. I mean, good God.
Yes, and we want to thank you for that trade. That really helped us. It really did.
Yep.
Anything we can do to help, Larry?
Yeah.
Real quick, back to my Bulls.
Good trade.
You got to be impressed with Lauri Markkanen, though, right? That kid looks good. He looks like he might have a future in this league.
Well, and again, I think that, and I was kidding because I love making fun of you, but the thing is that you look at three guys that they have, and that's where they're going to have to sell it on. You know, LaVine has not played. He's been injured. So he's out of sight, out of mind. Very good player. Then Markkanen looks like he's going to be good. Just got to get stronger. He's really a young kid. And then if Dunn is who they think he can be, those three guys, there you go. Now you're going to go get a top 3-4 pick. I mean, there's a number of names that are out there. They're all young. Unfortunately, I can't mention all of them, but they're all young, and they're going to be good players, and they're going to take some time. So I don't think Chicago has really gotten the picture without LaVine on the floor and done a full year of where they actually could be. And maybe the Portis thing works out. I don't know how that's all going to shake out. But they've got some pieces that are okay. It's just when you look at 3-20 and you're a player and you're in the middle, not even – you're just December, I can't imagine what February is going to be like. I mean, that is a brutal – it's a brutal stretch, and the season that they're having, what's going to transpire, that's a long, long year.
That is Larry Harris, the former Bucks GM, now director of player personnel for the world champion Golden State Warriors, our good friend and frequent guest here on the Wendy's Big Show, and his Throwback Thursday nominee is a Bing Crosby Christmas. Always appreciate it, Larry. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
for the time.
Hey, yeah, good talking to you guys. Hey, yeah. Gary, a question
yeah,
for
buddy.
You.
Yeah, buddy.
Your MVP of the league right now?
Probably LeBron James.
Sparky, help him out. Sparky, help him out.
You know the funny thing about this is
I mean,
that
how many
LeBron,
games they run were 13?
13 yeah, in a row,
LeBron, yep. LeBron just came out and said that he thinks people are taking him for granted because he's seeing these polls or whatever on these internet sites, and it's Kyrie Irving and James Harden and then LeBron for most of these deals. And I don't necessarily disagree with LeBron that I think people probably are taking him for granted and the numbers he puts up.
Yeah, you know what, and that's why I asked Gary, because I knew he'd say him. But obviously Harden and Irving, their records and what they're doing. But I've always said, whether it was Michael Jordan, whether it was Kobe Bryant, and whether it's LeBron James, they just need a motivator, and that's all he needed. He needs something to get him going. And he looks at Kyrie and says, okay, I got something for you. So as much as it pains me to say this, Cleveland's coming out of the East.
I'm LeBron, telling you right now. That Brad Stevens will outcoach Tyronn Lue and coach around him in circles. If this happens, if obviously, you know, they stay healthy. Horford's got to be there. Kyrie's got to be there.
Yeah.
If they're healthy
just
and they don't lose another star player.
Brad Stevens wins it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's unbelievable as a coach.
I agree. If it'll be a good series, and if everybody's healthy, and let's say that they are, because that's the only way you want to see it.
Right.
Both players are healthy. IT's the player he is. I'm never betting against LeBron out East. I don't care who Boston. They can have three Brad Stevens over there on the bench, all great coaches, assistant coaches. They ain't beating the man.
It ends this year.
He's just too good.
Nope.
Too good, man.
Nope.
In a 7-game series, I'm betting that.
I'm going to bet Brad Stevens all day. We'll see what happens. Well, we get to that point, and you and I can have a little side bet.
Oh, let's do that.
Yeah,
let's
all right.
Well, and how's fatherhood? Just one last question for you.
Oh, fatherhood's good, man. You know, you don't sleep a lot. Daycare brings home a lot of germs everybody can get sick off of. Yeah, that's great. It's good stuff.
I got you.
Yeah.
All right, Rami. Go Bears.
Thanks, Larry.
Go Bears. All right.
Appreciate it. We'll see you later.
All right,
Larry Harris joins us on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. It's Bear Down. Yeah. Great Midwest Bank
Bear
has been committed
down,
to
Chicago
personalized,
Bears.
You know the words? Common sense lending since 1935.
Maybe
they did score a lot of touchdowns on you guys. When you're in the market to buy, build,
down,
renovate,
Chicago
or refinance,
Bears.
Visit greatmidwestbank.com to discover the benefits of simply local banking.
Fight.
Yeah, y'all heard that song a lot when you were playing.
I don't know if we did or not, Ron.
It happens after every score.
Yeah, you guys didn't score a lot of points, though, back then.
Well, the defense scored some points on you, didn't they? They do it after defensive touchdowns, too.
Look at those scores. They didn't score a lot of points on us.
Okay.
We're too busy fighting.
All right.
Hey, we're talking about my good friends over at Hyundai West Dallas. They still have 0% for 72 months on both the Elantra and the Sonata.
Through it.
We still have 0% for 72 months on both the Elantra and the Sonata. You get rebates and 0%. And they also have the Christmas tree up.
Ooh.
It is loaded with discounts.
I'm putting mine up tomorrow.
The customer makes their deal.
Won't be loaded
and
with
then
discounts.
Pulls a card off the tree for extra discounts. There are coupons from $250. Brian Butler.
Double B.
He's now over at Hyundai West Dallas. Go check my good friends out right now at Hyundai West Dallas. As for my good friend Dan Richards, they're looking to make that Hyundai store the number one volume store in the state of Wisconsin. That's Hyundai West Dallas on Highway 100, right off of Arthur Avenue.
You know what just dawned on me?
What dawned on you?
Larry Harris is calling me from Oakland, where they're not even going to have an NFL team
no,
in a year or two.
They're in Phoenix. He's in Phoenix.
Well, you know what I mean. His team is in Oakland. They won't even have an NFL team in a couple
They won't
years.
Have an NBA team either. No. NBA team's going to San Francisco.
Well, same thing. Bay Area.
They're
Bay,
going. They're
Bay
going
Area
San...
is the Bay Area.
No, but Oakland's screwed. Oakland's only going to have the Athletics. That's it. That's what this is going
to
be.
Who's he to talk about my Bears? They're I'll take a three-win season over not having a team.
He's a Packer fan.
What? No, you can't do that.
What do you mean? He lived here for like 100 years.
Well,
he's
still
a Packers fan.
Is he still a Bucs fan?
Well, that I don't know.
Well, all right,
that's,
then.
That's not
I'm
going to
kick you in the
thing.
Face.
We'll I guarantee hit, you're still a Brewers fan, though.
We'll hit a quick break on the other side. Is the NFL too soft? It's the Wendy's Big Show. We'll be back right after.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.